Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Dr. Linda Blokler, and she is the chairperson at the Clinical Psychology Forum. A very good morning to you once again. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Howard. Thank you for having me. It's a great honor to see your listeners.
So tell us about, is this a real concern that the Guardian is, the Guardian in the UK is raising? Are pilots at risk? Does something need to change?
Well, certainly it is a very valid concern, and I can't speak for current airline policies, but it's always been pretty strict obviously in anybody who has a mental illness, and if we're talking about depression, for example, those are the kind of mental illnesses, depression and anxiety, that can fly under the radar because one can mask them. And, right. You know, unless they get really, really serious. But all mental disorders do affect one's cognitive processes, and one's judgments and executive decisions come into play there. So, yes, it is a concern.
I would imagine the industry itself would not encourage openness from the pilots.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There's always been a stigma involved because, and I'd say I don't know what the current situation is, but certainly in the past, aeronautical medicine is a speciality of its own. So in the past, any pilot suspected of having a mental illness or diagnosed with a mental illness would be grounded until he had the clear go-ahead to continue. For the same reason, they're not really supposed to be taking medication, that kind of medication, when they're flying. So they would tend to try and manage it without disclosing it.
Are there any stats? I mean, is there any way to know how, for example, pilots are doing whilst they've been sitting at home during over the last year?
Difficult question. It's an interesting question. On the surface, no. Perhaps what airlines could look at, and I'm really just sucking this out of my thumb, is perhaps...
I do that for 3 hours a day. You don't need to worry.
One would imagine there'd be some kind of medical checkup that they would go through. I mean, I know they certainly do this in the military, regular medical checkups, which would include a mental health checkup.
So it's interesting because one of the businesses that I'm involved in, we do this sort of thing is we check up. We have this program that once a week we send out a message to everybody, and it's just they click on it and says, how are you feeling today? And you've got all the different smiley faces. You're angry, you're sad, you're inspired, you're cool, you're tired, exhausted, whatever. And then it asks you, and how does that compare to last week? And although it's hardly a detailed scientific response, we do get, it does help people to check in on themselves firstly, and then we can also see a trend. So we can see that if people this week, the majority of people are doing worse, feeling worse than they were feeling last week, well then maybe we need to look at something. But over a period, the advantage there is it gives us a sense of how people are doing in terms of mood. But I guess as this pandemic started, we weren't ready for this, were we?
No, absolutely not. No, this has really had a major impact on so many people, and especially the pilots, because they've been grounded for so long and with so much uncertainty. I mean, airlines can go under very quickly and they lose
jobs. As we've seen,
But, the thing is, you know, I like that idea of have the smiley faces or any other kind of screening. There are a lot of screening instruments out there, very quick and easy to self-score. The problem is not that, although that could be useful, but the problem is that one can just, produce a smiley face if you're afraid of being grounded. So I think, the airlines themselves would have to come with some kind of support program and do away with the stigma that might be associated with that, so that nobody would feel that their job is at risk.
Yeah, it is interesting. And the other thing that we found, interestingly enough, is that not answering is also an indication obviously not once because you can be busy and you forgot to answer, but if somebody has been answering for 6 weeks in a row and then for two or 3 weeks they don't answer, that also could signal or, you know, alert us to the fact that maybe this person is feeling just a little bit disconnected and we need to reach out. But in some ways the airline industry has always had to deal with this because people are always remote, so to speak.
Well, this is true, yes, exactly.
Do you think that this is going to cause a shift in how we look at mental health in an industry? And this is the airline industry, but as you say, it affects soldiers, police. I think our doctors actually are, all of the doctors that I'm speaking to at the moment, I'm absolutely convinced are suffering post-traumatic stress. And when I encouraged somebody I was speaking to seek help at the moment, he said to me, I was hijacked a number of years ago with a gun, and he said, during the hijacking, you don't get help, you'll get help afterwards, which I hear they are in the midst of it. But I do think that the impact on not just our doctors, our nurses, the whole infrastructure, on our kids, on the teachers who also have anxiety about being at school and they're not being at school. They don't even know which they prefer, in terms of one protects them better, but the other one isn't what they want to do. There's so much of this around. Do you think that because of the pandemic, we will be more accepting of the fact that we need to worry about all of our own mental health?
I do think so. I think people are becoming much more aware of it. And people who already had mental health issues, perhaps more mildly, they become exacerbated. So, I think there is a greater awareness of the need to look at mental health. The problem is, as is always the case, is that the professions are not prepared for this. And, you know, when you're talking about doctors putting post-traumatic stress disorder and so on, I think also just simply the whole of the healthcare workers, I think, are just feeling quite overwhelmed by everything as well.
And, of course, then the other problem becomes if you do, as a pilot, alert your employer to the fact that you have been suffering depression, post-traumatic, whatever it would be, then it now becomes their responsibility if something happens whilst you're flying and they've known about it. So it actually puts them in a very difficult position.
No, absolutely. And the pilots are very aware of this. So the prison situation doesn't encourage them to be open about it. But I think it is something that has to be looked at because they are at risk. They're putting everybody else at risk. If they're flying with a mental health issue.
Yeah. And we have seen that. There have been a couple of incidents where pilots have taken their own lives with passengers on board.
Absolutely. There was that horrific one some years ago, the young German pilot.
Yes, there was that one. There was a German one. And then there was also, if I'm not mistaken, an Air France flight out of, maybe it was Brazil, somewhere in South America, if I'm not mistaken, where they also determined that that was the case. It's very, very concerning. But you just wonder how it will change, if it will. It is 8:53. Linda, thank you, as always, for chatting to us. Dr. Linda Blokland, chairperson at the Clinical Psychology Forum, certainly food for thought. I'd love your view on that, because it is a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Would you rather not know and assume your pilot is in good mental health, or would you be more comfortable to fly with somebody who has acknowledged that they are struggling, perhaps emotionally, but it's out in the open and being dealt with?